Romans chapter 8, and we're going to take a look at some of the doctrines that we are given by our Father to allow us to be who he has called us to be in Christ. Romans chapter 8, let's look at verse 14. Paul says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." And see, this is what goes on. When you're dealing with a mature saint, he deals with the things of this world differently than a saint that's not mature. He deals with things according to being led by the Spirit of God, like we see here in verse 14. He deals with it in that sense there, because he's a more mature saint. He's allowed God's word to work effectually within him. He understands that when trouble comes or when a situation arises, he doesn't take the matters into his own hands, or he doesn't get affected by it the same way a babe in Christ would. And I'm going to give you an example about that. You know, when we look at the Thessalonian saints, and we can take the Corinthian saints, and the Galatian saints, Paul wrote the letters around the same particular amount of time to the Corinthian saints, Galatian saints, and the Thessalonian saints. The Corinthian saints were called babes. They were called babes because they were only able to get milk doctrine. They were not handling their sufferings the way they ought to. They were avoiding the sufferings of this present time. They assumed God was going to take the sufferings away from them. So that's why Paul came back and wrote a second epistle. The whole second epistle written to the Corinthians is dedicated to sufferings. And this is because they're not mature saints. The Galatians, he called them old foolish Galatians. They weren't dealing with the sufferings of this present time like they ought to be either. But when you're looking at the Thessalonian saints, and we're going to look at some of that doctrine too, they were handling things the way they ought to. They were dealing with them the way a mature saint would. And I'm going to give you another example to those that are that have children before, or you don't even have to have children. You can be a child yourself, and that applies to everyone. But we can look at the difference between when you have a baby that is born and his sufferings, what he's going through, is nothing like what a toddler goes through. The same thing what a toddler suffers about, what he cries about, is not the same thing that a six-year-old will cry about. And so on and so on. Ourselves, you know, we ourselves, the things that would make us break down and throw in the towel, is something that you wouldn't have done when you were a younger child. And the same thing holds true when a baby is born, the things that he cries about. When he comes in the world, if his mother dies at on the table there, or if the mother and father split up or whatever the situation is, he wouldn't even care about it. Because he can't accept that like a person who is older could. So enough of that commercial there, but when you're looking at that, that's the differences between the maturity and how we ought to allow ourselves to be learned, to be led by the Spirit of God. And when looking at this, I'm going to go over this. When Paul says in verse 14, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," that's being led by the Word of God. That's being led by his Word. They are the sons of God. And he's explaining in verse 18 here that you're going to go through sufferings today. But the sufferings of this present time, you should be able to take that as a mature son and say, wait a minute, what we're going through today can't compare That's not even worthy to compare it to what we're going to have, the glory which shall be revealed in us. And notice it's in us. It's not around us or any physical glory. It's all an inner man thing here. Now, speaking of the inner man, let's go to Colossians chapter 2, chapter 3. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to see what we are told to look at, regardless what we face, regardless what we see. And again, the whole purpose was to do this was I received a lot of emails and things about the recent uprising with all the police shootings and the protests and just different things that we've been seeing on the news or just it's been common talk. So the idea is, how does a son, a mature saint, a mature son and daughter in Christ, handle these things? Do they get involved? Do they go out and march on City Hall? Do they get angry and allow that to affect them and the people around them? How is he to respond? And this is what we're going to look at here. Colossians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on the things of this earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And Paul says, if ye be then risen with Christ, because that is the status of a saint. He is already seated in heavenly places. His citizenship is in heaven. He is an ambassador on this foreign ground. We're only here for a moment. In 50 years to 80 to 100 years, that's only a moment in time. We're going to live eternity, one place or the other. You can think about how long Cain slew Abel. You can think how long he has been in the afterlife. And you can think about that. That's only a moment of time itself. Those 6,000 years, that's only a moment in time compared to eternity. So this is what we need to understand, that we're ambassadors here on this earth. And we're told to seek those things which are above. That's what we're supposed to set our affection to, as we're going to see here in verse 2. Set your affection, not affections, but affection. An affection is what a person has that drives them, that motivates them, that becomes their daily premise of what they base their life upon. When you set your affection on something, and we all set our affections on something different, regardless whether you're doing it according to God's word, or whether you're a member of ISIS, you have your affection, what drives and motivates you, that you love, that you value and esteem, that's your affection. You're told to set that on things above, as verse 2 says, not on the things of this earth. For ye are dead. And even though we know it's not a physical death, it's talking about that's the way you ought to view your old man, your outer man. And that's what we're told in Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. Your outer man is become dead unto God. And it should be that same way to you also. But the inner man is what now is alive. And we're going to see some verses that explain that to you. Now let's come over to, it says, we are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And that life that's hid is that inner man. We have to understand, these things that we see now, they're temporal, they're temporary. They shouldn't be viewed as important as it is to some who walk after this world. The people that walk after this world, there are going to be matters of this world that they're going to hold highly, they're going to be affectionate about it. Well, they'll even die for it. Now let's take a look at the proper attitude of a mature saint in Christ. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and let's look at verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, you see Paul says, then this is mature doctrine. This is talking to a mature saint who's warring, but he has a different fight on his hands. He's warring with a different battle. His battle concerns spiritual things, spiritual wickedness in high places. His battle concerns, he's fighting in his father's army, the Lord and Savior's army. As it says here in verse 4, it says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now, you know, oftentimes when we see things go on, we see someone getting beat or something like that, just say by the police or whatever the situation is, we see on the news, we see the church get involved. And the church gets involved and it marches, stages marches and vigils and everything like that, in a sense of a rally, so to speak. But that's not the proper response that a church or that a pastor or saints ought to have concerning these issues. And we're going to see that would be entangling yourself with the affairs of this life. I'm not saying that there's nothing wrong with doing that, but allow someone else to be the one that's doing these things or organizing or being involved with that. That's not how God the Father would have you to respond to persecutions that you face in life. And we're going to see some of the things that Paul went through. We're going to see some of the things that Paul went through in his life, that Paul was one of the most persecuted saints since Christ came on the earth. And let's take a look at that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And notice some of the things Paul is going to say here in spite of what he went through. And we're going to see what he went through later on. But let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's see how he tells the saints to handle what the problems that they go through, the sufferings and the persecutions that they've faced. And look what Paul says here in verse 16, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not. Now, I'm going to stop there. In other words, the natural man would have reason to faint. He would have reason to want to give up. And that's what that fainting means. It means throwing in towel. It means giving up. He says that for which cause we faint not, but though our outer man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Paul is saying here that even though your outward man is perishing, and your outward man is perishing because of sickness, age, crime afflicted, things because of our own stupidity, and death, that outward man is perishing. And Paul says, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So you see there's two different men being used here, an outward man and an inward man. But Paul is showing that God is dealing with that inward man, not the outward man. The inward man is the one that God is renewing day by day, and he's doing it through the word. That renewed way of thinking that inward man should have, should allow God's word to work effectively within him so he can mature, so he can understand what verse 17 says here. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, Paul is saying here that even though we have affliction, and whether it's you stumping your toe or whether somebody just murdered your family, it's all looked upon as light affliction. As he explained over there in Romans chapter 8, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And again, remember, Paul is calling this light affliction, and we're going to see the things that Paul went through and see if we could call that a light affliction. He says, but it's for a moment, but it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How it works for you is because when you're going through the sufferings of this present time and you take God's word and you apply his word in your circumstances, whether you're angry, whether you are suffering, going through tribulation, whether it's things that you feel like you can't even bear to live any longer. Paul is explaining here that when you take God's word and apply it in that circumstance and it actually works for you, and it will when you're mature, that brings glory and honor unto the Father. It brings glory and honor unto him, and it makes an impact in heavenly places. When you act like a mature saint and a son and daughter in Christ, allowing his word to actually do what it's designed to do, work effectually within you. Look at the next verse here. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, you know, that would be foolish talk to the natural man. The natural man couldn't accept what's being said there. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. And someone would say, wait a minute, how are you going to tell me to do that and my husband just died or my father just died or whatever the situation is? But when you're operating upon mature doctrine and operating upon a renewed way of thinking, your inner man is going to actually look at hope. He's going to operate upon hope doctrine. He's going to operate upon that hope that he has, what he's been told, and understand what the verses say, regardless what he sees. And he's going to not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And this is what we've been taught. Now, while you're in 2 Corinthians, come back to verse 2. You know what, for time's sake, we're not even going to, I'm not going to cover that issue. That's might take, if we get time, we'll come back there. Come to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, but if we get time, we're going to come back here and go over that doctrine there. It's so much doctrine to go over on the issue of sufferings. And again, like I said, this whole second epistle to the Corinthians is dedicated to sufferings. It's dedicated to the sufferings of this present time. That's anything you go through, whether you're saved or unsaved. You're going to go through sickness, aging, death, crime. You're going to go through those things. All mankind, whether they're of different religions or not, they're going to go through the same thing. Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and let's look at verse 4. Paul says, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulations. For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Now, most people would think that you were a fool if you said this. If you said, I am filled with comfort, I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulations. Well, Paul says, I'm exceeding joyful. He's not saying I'm exceedingly joyful. That would just mean he's very joyful. He's saying that he's exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Now, how can he have that attitude there? He's saying that he's troubled. He says his flesh had no rest. He's troubled on every side. Now, can you think of a situation where your flesh would have no rest in sufferings, or you'd be troubled on every side? He says, without were fightings, within were fears, not just fear, but fears and fightings, plural. He said his flesh had no rest. Paul was receiving a lot of persecution and tribulation on every side, everywhere he went. Now, Paul and the saints didn't go out and get picket signs. They didn't go out and start a protest and things of that nature. And let's look at some of the things Paul went through. Now, you see Paul said he's exceeding joyful in his tribulation. Paul says that our light affliction is but for a moment. Come over to your 2 Corinthians. Come over to chapter 11, and let's look at some of the things Paul went through. And notice, these are just some of the things, because when Paul wrote 2 Corinthians, this was only his fourth or fifth epistle. He still had eight more to write. So come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and let's look at verse 24. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Now I'm going to stop there. Paul is saying that of the Jews, he received 40 stripes. That means he was beaten 40 times you could do the research on of your own, but when they would beat you, they would have these little things on the end of the straps to rip your flesh off. He said this happened to him five times, at 39 whips each time. Okay, now with that, I can stop there, and some people will say, wait a minute, wow. If the cops did that to someone, or if someone did that to someone, well, that's a lot of injustice there. Well, let's keep on here. Verse 25, thrice, meaning three times, I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. I'm going to stop there. When a person was stoned, it was permanent. They didn't live to be stoned. They would stone a person until they died. And you can imagine what happened to the person on a physical nature. But Paul, of course, he lived. He wasn't finished with his testimony. So, of course, he lived. He said thrice, in other words, three times, I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things which are without, that which come upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And he says, who is weak? Am I not weak? Who is offended? And I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. He said if he's going to glory, the only thing he wants to glory about is his infirmities, the things that he went through. See, Paul was operating upon a hope doctrine. He knew that the things he went through, it was for Christ's sake. Because when Christ was weak, then when Paul was weak, then Christ became strong. His strength was made perfect in weakness. It wasn't that Christ became strong, it was Christ's strength was put on display when Paul suffered. So Paul knew that each one of those things that no man has went through, that when he went through those things, it was putting on display the strength of Jesus Christ. This is what he knew. And this is why he said he would glory in his infirmities. Now come over to Thessalonians. Let's look at the Thessalonians. And let's look at how the Thessalonians, who were mature saints, let's see how they dealt with the persecutions and the afflictions that they faced. Because the Thessalonians saints, they faced some particular sufferings and persecutions and even death because they were proclaiming the gospel. They were proclaiming the gospel, and because of that, they were going through sufferings. But Paul is going to explain, he's not going to come and say, well, wait a minute, you know, hey, we're going to be there with the military. If you know Paul's history, you understand he was persecuting the church. Paul wasn't a weak man in the sense of that he just didn't know how to fight or anything like that. Paul was tailing men and women of the church into prison. He was operating upon a new way of doctrine here. He wasn't doing as he did before when he was unsaved. Now let's go to First Thessalonians, and let's look at chapter 1, and let's look at verse 5. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 5. Now notice what's being said here. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And I'm going to stop there. Paul was an example to these saints. They seen the preaching. They seen how that word effectually worked in Paul. They seen, and they saw this, and like as Paul says, in much assurance, they were assured when they seen this of Paul. And they knew what manner of men they were. And Paul said he did it for their sakes. Verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word, notice this, in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. He said they received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So they did this. They had affliction, but it was with joy. They knew what was at stake here. They knew what was at stake, and they knew that putting the power of Christ on display was more important than what they see, than what they allow their circumstances to dictate. They knew what was more important because it would be unto their praise, honor, and glory for more far exceeding eternal weight of glory. Now, verse 7, that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. Paul says that they were examples, not just examples, they were examples. The difference between an example and an example carries a example that you can't afford to miss. That is, if you do miss it, will be only to your peril in as being a saint and son in Christ. And Paul says here that the world looked upon them and how they suffered, and they were examples onto the world. They were what you call the model saint. Now let's look at, while we're in 1 Thessalonians, come to chapter 3. Come to chapter 3 and look at what Paul taught these saints. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, let's look at verse 3. That no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed unto thereunto. Now, Paul says here, he says, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Paul is saying that you know you're appointed unto afflictions. You know you're going to go through these things. You've been taught that. just like we see in Romans chapter 8, where we're told that for the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together in pain. The whole creation is going through sufferings, whether it's the saved or the unsaved. You're not going to avoid those sufferings. You're appointed thereunto those. So you can handle the sufferings either the way God designed, or you can handle the sufferings the way this world designs. You can handle it the way this world designs, or you can handle it the way God designed it. And that's key. That's key to understanding. Now, let's go down to verse 4 here. For verily when we were with you, we told you before that ye should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass. And ye know. Paul said, he taught them that. He said, when we were with you, we told you before that you should suffer tribulation. And it did come to pass. But these saints were able to handle it differently than saints would that are less mature, that are babes in Christ, or that are living in this world. Now let's go over to, let's come to 2 Timothy. Let's come to 2 Timothy, and let's look at chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, let's look at verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Paul says God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Then he says, be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but he tells them what to do. Be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, this is not what the churches are teaching today. They're telling you you're not going to go through suffering. They're telling you if things are going very well in your life, you're living godly. You're being blessed. They're telling you that you're being blessed because you have everything going perfectly, running smoothly. But let's see what Paul says about this. While you're in 2 Timothy, come to chapter 3. Come to chapter 3, and let's see what Paul says about how a godly person life ought to be. Let's look at verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's look at verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch. And you notice, let's stop there. You notice he talks about that persecution and afflictions that came onto him at Antioch. And Timothy understands this because he told him all about it. But let's finish the verse here. He said, Iconium at Lystra. These are things that not only just came there, but they came at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. He endured them. God didn't deliver him from those persecutions. All the things we've seen on that list of things that Paul went through, even though Paul was a chosen vessel of the Lord, bearing about the doctrine for the Lord didn't take Paul away from those things. See, that's because Paul can be an example unto us. And so when we go through the things of this life, the persecutions and things of that matter, we'll know how to do what Paul is going to say here. He says, what things I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Now, this deliverance is not the same way as a physical deliverance, because he said he endured them. Paul is saying, again, when he said in verse 10, you have fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering. That means he suffered long. Charity, patience, persecution, affliction. He's saying that he went through those things What delivered him was God's word. God's word delivered him. He took whatever he was going through, all those persecutions and afflictions in each of those cities, he took them all, and he took verses like, I know the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He took verses like, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. The things which are seen are temporal, things which are unseen are eternal. He took verses like that, and he used those in his life to understand this light affliction is but for a moment. But notice what he says next in verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall be delivered from persecution. No, that's not what it says. It says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, that's not what I hear taught today. That's not what I hear taught today at all. What I hear taught today is, you're blessed, and you won't be able to bring in your storehouse. It's going to roll over with blessings. But you have to give to the church. They'll say, oh, well, you must have some unforgiven sin in your life. How can a justified person have unforgiven sin in their life when Christ died for all sins? He paid for that debt 2,000 years ago at the cross for everything you're going to do today, and you did yesterday, and you will do tomorrow. But that's just further lies to keep money rolling in. It's what's being taught there. But this says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But look at the next verse. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Why would Paul say that right after he explained how that a godly saint in Christ is supposed to live? He says, yea, all that will live godly. You don't have to live godly in Christ Jesus. You don't have to go through the sufferings and things like that, because most don't. But it says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And this holds true today. But some might not think that that's the case, but this holds true today, because men are telling you that you're going to avoid those sufferings. You're not going to go through those things. But that's an outright lie, and it's contrary to the doctrine that we see here. Now let's look at some of that there. I'm going to come back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. This is Paul talking about himself and the disciples there. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Now I'm going to stop there and go over what's being said there. Paul is saying that he's not handling the word of God deceitfully. He wants to bring God's word to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But he says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. See, the God of this world will have you believe a lie and have you believe their own way of thinking, that godliness is, you know, when something happens, like things we see, or if someone gets unjustly treated, the church gets involved, and the church would say, well, you know, everyone come in here, and and we're going to march, or we're going to do this, and we're going to... That's not how a godly saint ought to act. And we're told, if we have time, we'll go over to Romans 13. We're told that we're subject unto the higher powers, meaning the government. We're subject unto the government and whatever the, and what the government institutes, you're subject unto that. You're told that, just as the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said, render unto Caesar's what's Caesar's. See, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and Paul also, and there are saints, they knew that God instituted a governmental structure here on the earth. Now, God did not put people in office. He's not in control of the, we know God is all in control, but he's not in control of the, who's elected to office. He's not in, that's by vote. God's not putting men in the authoritative governmental structure, but he designed it. And because of this, you're taught as a saint to render unto the government what's the government. You're told that if the government says a man can marry a dog or whatever the situation, you don't have to be involved with it, but you're not to go against the system. You're not to get your picket sign out and go out to City Hall and go against the system. That would be ungodly. And we're taught that at our jobs, as Paul used, masters and servants. You're supposed to render due unto him. But now let's go here to verse 5 here. Paul says, for we preach not of ourselves, but of Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Paul is saying that he didn't come there preaching of himself. In other words, it's not about him. When Paul is standing before those people, it was not for Paul's sake. It was for God's, the Lord's sake, is why he was preaching. And he said that it be to the glory and honor of the Father. Now, he's saying here that in verse 4, actually in verse 5, he's saying he's their servants, and it's all for Jesus' sake, not his. But again, that's what we talked about at the outset there. We have to allow our affection to not be on our own selves, not for our own sakes, but for Jesus' sake. Our affection ought to be on things above and things concerning the inner man. But this world doesn't preach that. This world can blind the minds of some because it can have them operating upon doctrine that God's not doing today. It can tell you that if someone has done wrong, not to do anything violent, but protest in peace. And even protesting in peace, when we look at what happened in time, when we look at when the Apostle James was killed, the apostles and the other disciples, they didn't protest in peace. That's not how we're taught when Paul, the things that Paul said the Thessalonians went through. Paul didn't enter a peaceful protest. He told them how to use God's word effectually within them to handle the circumstances around them. And that's what he's saying here. Now, let's look at verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now notice this here. But we have this treasure. He's talking about what we just talked about there, that he said should be in our hearts, that doctrine. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that's our bodies, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. I'm going to stop there. Paul is saying that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And what he's saying is, and he's going to show you some of the things that can overtake us. He's saying that we're not to allow that. We're not to allow ourselves to not to be of us all the time. We're not to allow it to be our sakes, but Jesus Christ and God the Father's sake. It says that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. But oftentimes we can think it is of us because we'll say, well, I'm a person of color, and I see the police out here and they're doing things to people of color, or this is what's being portrayed, or whatever the situation is, I'm going to get involved. I feel my voice can make a difference because this is affecting me. Well, look at what this says here. It says that excellency of power may be of God and not of us. Notice this here. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Now you notice what's being said, all the different things that Paul says that will come to pass with you. Verse 8, it says, we are troubled on every side. That means all around, trouble. Even if there's trouble all around you, you're supposed to be not in distress. He says we're perplexed, yet not in despair. Even though you're going through things and you feel that I'm without, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. See, Paul is telling you about a new reality because you're going to go through these things, but he's saying that even though you're going through them, you're not this. He's telling you about that hope doctrine and the new attitude, the way you ought to be looking at things. Not at the things which you can see, but look at the things which you can't see. Because when you're, as he says here, trouble on every side, well, you're not to look at that. What you are to look at is that you're not distressed. When you're perplexed, you're not to look at that, even though you're dealing with that. You're supposed to have that thinking that I have a new reality. I'm not in despair. When you're persecuted, even though it's right in front of you, you're not supposed to look at that. Your affection is supposed to be on things above. You're an ambassador on this earth. You're supposed to think and understand, I'm not forsaken. That word tells me that. I'm cast down. Well, the word tells you you're not destroyed. But see, this is when you're doing this, like Paul says here, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. And notice it's in your bodies. There's no deliverance here. But there is a deliverance doctrinally. Because when you have that attitude, as Paul said there about when he says, I'm not looking at being troubled on every side, I'm looking at the fact that I'm not distressed. He's looking at what he doesn't see. And when he does that, now this is what happens here. This is the benefit, the fruits of that. The life of Jesus is manifest in our bodies. And notice what he says in verse 11. For we which live, and that's live, a sanctified live, that means we which live are always delivered unto death. And always is not the same as always. The word always, that means that's the way something is done most of the time. When you say, well, I always choose to go to this store, I always choose to use this gasoline, or that's not all the time. The word always means all the way. That's what that word means, all the way. For we which live are all the way delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That means regardless how bad it gets, it's not for your sake, it's for Jesus' sake. Why? That the life also Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. That's how a mature saint thinks. He thinks in that way because he understands what's at stake here. Now let me get ready to close, but I want to take a look at, so come back to Romans chapter 8. Take a look at a couple other things here dealing with the sufferings of this present time. Romans chapter 8, and let's look at verse 22. Romans chapter 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Now, I'm going to stop there. That's saying the whole creation, everyone, they're groaning and travailing in pain. That's saying that you're not going to, tribulation and pain, sufferings, is not going to escape you. God's not going to put his hand in between you and your problems. The whole creation, that's everyone, and we're going to see that here. Not only they, that's the unsaved, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Paul is saying here that we all are going to go through sufferings, unsaved and saved. He said, but the difference is even we ourselves, the saved people, grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. See, God's promised us a new and glorified body in heavenly places. He's never promised us deliverance on this earth from physical circumstances. This body, as we see, it talks about the outward man perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day. The only time we're going to, see, God's dealing with our inner man now, and we're going to get a new and glorified body in heavenly places. And that's what this redemption of our body is talking about. Look at verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. See, this is that dealing with the things which you cannot see, that hope doctrine. That's that hope doctrine there. Now, let's come over to verse 35. And I'm going through this really quick, but come to verse 35 here. And look at what this says here. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness and or peril or sword? Now, to every one of those things, there should be a no behind that. When he says, shall tribulation? No. Shall distress? No. Shall persecution? No. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, everything that's listed there, that's everything a man can go through. And when I say man, I mean mankind. But in all these things, we're supposed to be more than conquerors. Not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror through these things. We're told that we're supposed to have the attitude to say, as verse 38 says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor anything, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ. And when you think that way, you're operating upon mature doctrine. You're operating upon hope doctrine. This is the way a saint ought to think. He ought not to think the way this world thinks, because this world hath blinded the mind of them, lest they believe the truth, as we've seen in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. They will tell you something that sounds good, seems right, but when you're looking at what God, if the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ suffered, and he's the head of the body of Christ, why wouldn't the toe suffer or the finger suffer? We are told we are members of one body. Do we regulate the sufferings only to the apostles and Jesus Christ and the saints of their time? Why do we think that we're to be avoided and they were not pulled out of those circumstances? Why do we think we're that special where we are not to do as the verses say here? Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And the doctrines that we see here is designed to work effectually within you that believe, that you may take his word and allow it to work from the inside out. Work within that inner man, not the outer man. You're supposed to look at the things which you see not. Operate upon that hope doctrine, and you will be one that would say, I am persuaded, and be more than a conqueror in all your sufferings that you face, or any persecutions that you see, or anything that you feel that you want to vindicate yourself about. When we see these things take place around us, we have to understand they're only going to get worse. The things that we see, but they're temporal unto us. Man is going to become more and more like brute beasts. He's going to become more wicked. But we can allow ourselves to interfere and feel that as a saint and son in Christ, God wants us to get involved, regardless of what the church is doing today. But with that, I'm going to close, and I'll thank everyone for listening in, and I'm going to open things up for the Q&A session. You could press *61 on your phone, and it will get you into the queue. *61 will get you into the queue. So if anyone has any comments, any questions, please feel free to press *61, and that will get you into the queue. And again, what we see today, what we see taking place, sure, it definitely is an injustice. But just think about what took place in the lives of the saints in Paul's day, in the saints, the 12 apostles, what they faced. When they went through sufferings of the present time, they were thrown in jail. They were beaten and thrown in jail. When they sang, when they got out, they counted them. They were glad. They gloried because God counted them worthy to suffer for his sake. Paul, the same thing. Paul looked upon those sufferings and he said, God counted me. He chose me worthy. And the same with us. We're told we are appointed onto suffering. And when you do, you're given that privilege. You're given that privilege to suffer for his sake, because when you are weak, then Christ's strength is made perfect in your weakness. And that's what you're doing and allowing to happen here. I'm going to go to the first caller here. 3366, you're in the queue.
How you doing, Pastor Ron?
Pretty good. How you doing there, my friend?
I ain't heard from you in a minute or two, but missed you on last week. Best commented on your good message of suffering with Christ. And, like, just a quick question, like the Thessalonian saints and the Galatian saints and some saints, they wasn't mature saints in Christ. So they couldn't know how to suffer as a mature saint as ourselves is today. Wasn't they bathed in Christ, the Thessalonian saints and the Corinthian saints, they didn't know how to suffer for Christ. That's the question I'm trying to ask.
Well, it was the Galatian saints and the Corinthian saints. They did not know how to suffer with Christ. They were babes. Now, the Thessalonian saints, the Thessalonian saints, they were mature. They were wise men. Yes. They were able to, they were allowing God's word to work effectually within them. And that was the differences of a mature saint and a babe in Christ. He couldn't handle that doctrine and suffer to that capacity. He wanted it taken away from him.
Okay, right. Okay, I see. So they were babes in Christ. They were quite mature at that time. They weren't mature to handle that strong doctrine. We as God will have sons and daughters for us today, as saints on the meet today, to do handle that.
Right. That's right.
Okay. Okay. Well, I appreciate y'all, your teaching and everything, learning a lot and sharing it with others also. And another, I did have a question. Did you ever be able to get those things from the conference for me? Those CDs?
Yeah. Well, the I have to call. I have to make a phone call because I only received one. I only received one, so I have to make a phone call, and I would definitely be able to get that from the conference.
Okay. Okay. I think a shipping handler would forward it. That's what it needs to be done. I'd like to have them. If you got them, to give them to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I will notify you about that real soon. I'm going to make a phone call tomorrow, and I'll text you that information.
I appreciate that, Ron Jones, and the teaching event thing. And God bless you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Bye. Okay. And again, Star 61 will get you into the queue. And it's just something we have to keep in mind. We have to understand, again, what we see. Don't allow that. Don't allow this world's way that they deal with matters of this world to affect you as a saint in Christ. You have to allow that you're supposed to set your affection on things above, not on the things of this world, not on the things that's around you. Because notice, the things around you are, can cause you to respond like this world responds. Even though it thinks it's responding in peace, even though they think they're handling things in a peaceful way, it's still not of God. It's not in a godly way. It's actually in an ungodly way. And that's what we're told. And if we had time, I could give you a couple of verses that show some people that went out there and they chose to make a so-called peaceful protest. And we see that when we look at when Jesus Christ, before he was put on the cross there, there were all the Jews came, people of the city came there. They said they want Barabbas. You know, they were, we have no king but Caesar. There probably wasn't any violence that took place at that time, but we see the effects of that. But what I'm going to do, we're going to close here, and I thank everyone for listening in, and I appreciate everyone for coming to another Thursday night Bible study. And until next week, thank you.
If this study has been of some help to you, you can always tune back in every Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern to listen in for more of God's edification, Rightly Divided. And also you can listen to this study over again on the playback number of 641-715-3609. That's 641-715-3609. And this study will be available all week. Thanks again for listening in. Thank you.